Hello and welcome to Just a Guy and His Journey Back to God. So today we're not going to be doing a reading from Romans. On the weekends I tend to not record the chapters that we're reading through the Bible. I found that when I tried to do it every single day, at times I got just too stressed. But what I like to do is what I did similarly to the sermon from Charles Spurgeon. I'd like to be able to, when I read something from one of my authors that I enjoy, be it Spurgeon, A.W. Tozer, or one of the others, Kent Hughes, or whoever it might be, and it's impactful to me, I'd like to share it with you. And I'll tell you that in my life, in my Christian walk, I have struggled at times with the verse that says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. You see, as a typical American, I've always equated love with emotions. Even though my father used to tell me, son, love is a commitment. He was married with my mother for almost 50 years, and it would have been longer, except she passed away early. And so it was a commitment. It was a willful decision. It was a matter of will for him. And Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey me. But I still, as a Westerner, have always focused on the emotion. So I've started reading. I have many books that I read from A.W. Tozer. He was a very proficient and prolific author. And one of them that I just am reading is Man, What It Means to Have Christ Living in You. And he has a chapter it's chapter 8, he titles, True Religion is Not Feeling, but Willing. And I felt like it was very helpful to me. I've struggled with that whole concept of loving God, and I've questioned my own Christianity, my own belief and faith, and whether or not I'm really saved, and if God really loves me, and if I really love him, because I don't have the butterflies in my stomach all the time, and I definitely don't have them generally for my neighbors. And then when you combine that with the sermon, you know, Romans 7, where I sin constantly, I'm not, you know, completely different. I continue to swear, continue to get angry. I continue to just fail. I have really struggled at times with, am I a Christian? Am I saved? But the Spurgeon sermon made a big difference to me. And that was 45 minutes I read to you. And this won't be like that. This will be much shorter. But this also has made a major difference to me. It's helped me. It's reminded me of what my father said. My father's been gone a number of years. And so I found it to be very helpful. So I hope it'll be helpful to you. If not, I apologize that you've spent this time. I hope it's not a waste. I pray it's not a waste. So let's, before we start reading, let's go to God in prayer. Holy Father, thank you. Thank you for talking to us. You speak to us through your Bible, and you speak to us through those men and women who have lived lives close to you, who have gone through ups and downs, who have learned what it means to be your children, and are also talented enough to share with us what they discovered. And Lord, I just pray that as we read this, because it's not your word necessarily, it might be inspired, but it's still man's work. So Lord, I pray what is right and what is accurate would be highlighted to us. That you, Holy Spirit, would guide this time Open our hearts and our minds to what is yours. And please, whatever is not of you, please remove it or block our hearts from remembering it and applying it. But Lord, I just pray that if it's beneficial to others, that they would hear it. That it would go out and touch people. And if not, Lord, just let it be mine, because it did help me. I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, chapter 8, true religion is not feeling, but willing. One of the puzzling questions likely to turn up sooner or later to vex the seeking Christian is how he can fulfill the scriptural command to love God with all his heart and his neighbor as himself. The earnest Christian, as he meditates on his sacred obligation to love God and mankind, may experience a sense of frustration gendered by the knowledge that he just cannot seem to work up any emotional thrill over his Lord or his brothers. He wants to, but he cannot. The delightful wells of feeling simply will not flow. I've been there. Man, I've been there. Many honest persons have become discouraged by the absence of religious emotion and concluded they are not really Christian after all. And again, I've been there too. They conclude that they must have missed the way somewhere back there, and their religion is little more than an empty profession. So for a while, they belabor themselves for their coldness and finally settle into a state of dull discouragement, hardly knowing what to think. They do believe in God. They do indeed trust Christ as their Savior. But the love they hoped to feel consistently eludes them. What is the trouble? The problem is not a light one. A real difficulty is involved. One which may be stated in the form of a question. How can I love by commandment? You see, I've been there. This is actually, it's not a light problem. It's a significant one. I've left, stopped going to church, everything for a long time before, because I just didn't feel like, yeah, I must not be a Christian. I must not, because I continue to sin and I continue to not, I don't have this, the butterflies in the heart, in the stomach. Of all the emotions of which the soul is capable, love is by far the freest, the most unreasoning, the one least likely to spring up at the call of duty or obligation, and surely the one that will not come at the command of another. No law has ever been passed that can compel one moral being to love another, for by the very nature of it, love must be voluntary. No one can be coerced or frightened into loving anyone. Love just does not come that way. So what are we to do with our Lord's command to love God and our neighbor? To find our way out of the shadows and into the cheerful sunlight, we need only to know that there are two kinds of love, the love of feeling and the love of willing. Again, my father always said, love is a commitment. It's not an emotion. It's a commitment you make. And that's how he and my mother stayed married happily until their deaths. Well, until hers. And anyways, it's a commitment. And Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey me. The one lies in the emotions, the other in the will. Over the one, we have little control. It comes and goes, rises and falls, flares up and disappears as it chooses, and changes from hot to warm to cool and back to warm again, very much as does the weather. Such love was not in the mind of Christ when he told his people to love God and each other. As well command a butterfly to light on your shoulder as to attempt to command this whimsical kind of affection to visit our hearts. The love the Bible enjoins is not the love of feeling. It is the love of willing, the willed tendency of the heart. For these two happy phrases, I am indebted to another, a master of the inner life, whose pen was only a short time ago stilled by death. God never intended that such a being as man should be the plaything of his feelings. The emotional life is a proper and noble part of the total personality, but it is by its very nature a secondary importance. Religion lies in the will, and so does righteousness. The only good that God recognized is a willed good. The only valid holiness is a willed holiness. It should be a cheering thought that before God, every man is what he wills to be. The first requirement in conversion is a rectified will. If any man will, says our Lord, and leaves it there. To meet the requirements of love toward God, the soul need but will to love, and the miracle begins to blossom like the budding of Aaron's rod. This will is the automatic pilot that keeps the soul on course. Flying is easy, said a friend who flies his own plane. Just take her up, point her in the right direction you want to go, and set the pilot. After that, she will fly herself. While we must not press the figure too far, it is yet blessedly true that the will, not the feelings, determines moral direction. The root of all evil in human nature is the corruption of the will. The thoughts and intents of the heart are wrong, and as a consequence, the whole life is wrong. Repentance is primarily a change of moral purpose, a sudden and often violent reversal of the soul's direction. The prodigal son took his first step upward from the pigsty when he said, "I will arise and go to my father's house." As he had once willed to leave his father's house, now he willed to return. His subsequent action proved his expressed purpose to be sincere. He did return. Very much what I've done in my life when I have walked away because I'm just not a Christian. I've had to make that decision to come back, to return to God. And I've done it. It wasn't always pretty, but I willed to do it. Someone may infer from the above that we are ruling out the joy of the Lord as a valid part of the Christian life. While no one who reads these columns regularly, he wrote columns in his church's newspaper, in the newspaper actually, also, and in other publications. He was a very proficient or prolific writer. While no one who reads these columns regularly would be likely to draw such an erroneous conclusion, a chance reader might be led astray. A further word of explanation is therefore indicated. To love God with all your heart, we must first of all will to do so. We should repent our lack of love and determine from this moment on to make God the object of our devotion. We should set our affections on things above and aim our heart towards Christ and heavenly things. We should read the Scriptures devotionally every day and prayerfully obey them. Always firmly willing to love God with all our heart and our neighbor as ourself. If we do these things, we may be sure that we shall experience a wonderful change in our whole inward life. We shall soon find, to our great delight, that our feelings are becoming less erratic and are beginning to move in the direction of the willed tendency of the heart. Our emotions will become disciplined and directed. We shall begin to taste the piercing sweetness of the love of Christ. Our religious affections will begin to mount evenly on steady wings instead of flitting about idly without purpose or intelligent direction. The whole life, while like a delicate instrument, will be turned to sing the praises of Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. But first of all, we must will, for the will is the master of the heart. And you know, I found just in this, my life, recently on this journey back to God, the commitment, the will to get closer to Him has been so critical. There have been times when I've stopped doing this for a month or so. But the reality is my will is there, and God's honored it and blessed it, and my love for Him has increased. I also found that it was necessary for me to really start guarding what goes into my mind. I read a lot. I'm single. I'm home alone a lot. So I read, and a lot of the readings I'd been doing in the past were very secular. They weren't anything really what anyone would deem bad, but they were fiction. They were historical fiction because I love history. And they just weren't edifying to God. In fact, they talked about a lot of times other gods, false gods, the gods of the ancient days. And it wasn't good. And I can literally tell the difference between when I started reading Tozer again, Spurgeon's sermons, and Kent Hughes's writings and his sermons, and Charles Stanley's stuff. I've started changing what I read. And I've read biographies of great men and women, but I stopped reading the garbage, and I've been more controlling of what I do put into my mind and my heart. And the result is my focus is more on God, because that's what most of those works are about, Him. So it's helped me quite a bit. I control the TV a lot more, and even the radio. I don't listen to the news until at least 2 o'clock, one or 2 o'clock in the afternoon at the soonest. I try not to. I reduced my time on Twitter or social media, and it's really more focused on God. And that was a decision. It was a will. So I really appreciate what Tozer said. I appreciate what Charles Spurgeon said, because I've struggled a lot with my passionate emotional love of God and others. It's been something that's been very challenging for me. I've actually candidly wondered if I would ever love anyone again since my divorce, because I haven't been able to really feel the emotional love except towards my kids and my grandson. So I just thought it was dead. But it has come back to life, and it's being directed towards God. And that, to me, is a miracle. So, with all that said, I hope this was beneficial to you. I hope you heard something that blessed you. And let's close up in prayer real quick. Holy Father, Lord God, Creator of all, thank you. Thank you for helping me to love you. Helping me to love again. It's a line from a dumb song, Father, but it's so true. And it's just amazing. So, Father, I pray that this reading, this chapter from Tozer, would benefit anyone that hears it. If not, if it wasn't meant to be heard by people, if it is just works of man, I pray, I ask that no one else would listen. But if it does, Lord, I pray that they would then share it with others so that they too can grow closer to you, so they can love you and understand what that means and what you want, so we can grow closer to you, Father God. I just praise you and thank you for all that you've done. I lift up the rest of this weekend to you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, thanks for joining me at Just a Guy and His Journey Back to God. I hope you have a great day.